The Guardian.
Hello, or bonjour, and welcome to a special Film Weekly, part of The Guardian's look at all things French. And as your weekly dose of cinephilia, we at Film Weekly will be examining the current glory of French cinema.
I think British politicians have never been preoccupied with culture. I think they never fought with culture. They never thought that culture was important, except people like Winston Churchill.
When I received the coffret with all the DVDs to vote for the Césars. Actually, you have all the films that were done in the year, and it's quite depressing at some point because you can see that most of them are not really good.
You know, I'm very happy for the English. You know, before, like when I start, they feel so in the shadow of their American cousin, and I can't get out of the shadow. And now they say, you know, get the fuck out of here. Give it a place. Mm-hmm.
I learned how to read a script and I learned about myself and listening my tripes, je sais pas comment on dit ça.
My heart. Your guts, yes.
My guts, my heart to make choice.
Let me take you on a personal musing on the state of French cinema as I become agent provocateur and ask some of France's leading directors and actors, is French cinema better than British cinema?
Ken Loach, voilà, tous les grands réalisateurs. C'est vrai que je trouve qu'en Angleterre,
those French do have a knack for damning with faint praise, don't they? But do they feel their cinema really is superior to ours? I heard many answers to this rather blunt question, and invariably most responses involved two names, Ken Loach and Mike Lee, both clearly adored in France, but nothing I heard seemed to imply that the French were looking nervously over their shoulders at any British artistic vanguard. The French, it transpires, are looking mostly straight over the British Isles and west towards the US. So I'll be discussing our two cinema cultures with leading exponents of French cinema, including the directors Bertrand Tavernier, Luc Besson and François Ozon. And I meet a new crop of French on-screen talent, including Gaspard Ulliel and Taha Rahim. But first, a little bit of history.
Arthur regarde sans arrêt ses pieds, mais il pense à la bouche d'Odile, à ses baisers romantiques.
T'as les boules, t'es morte de trop, t'es terrorisée. Mmh. Regarde, tu trembles, t'as la chair de poule.
Ouais, c'est fou.
T'oses même plus respirer sans lui demander la permission.
Mmh. Hein? T'as fini? Allez, tu vas te faire foutre.
I hope you spotted those. That's L'Atalante by Jean Vigo, Bond à part by Jean-Luc Godard, and The Beat My Heart Skip by Jacques Audiard, three of my favourite French films of all time. My cinematic education happened in Paris. I spent a year there, ostensibly teaching English, but really sneaking off in the afternoons to tiny little cinemas on the left bank or in the dingy depths of Les Halles to catch a repertory classic every afternoon. It helped me build up a picture of cinema history, from B-movie westerns to French New Wave to genre noir and film noir. I simply couldn't have done that in any other city in the world. So France is undoubtedly the most cinephilic culture. But does that mean they make the best films? They certainly have the best film festival in the world. Cannes obsesses the whole nation for 2 weeks every May. By contrast, the London Film Festival barely interests anyone outside Soho beyond its opening night. Famously or infamously, France also has its own state-supported domestic market that thrives on French produce, both good and bad. Here is not the place for the bad. We will stay with the majestic in French cinema. And on the subject of majesty, few directors are as respected around the world than Bertrand Tavernier. His films are world-renowned, but avowedly French, none more so than Round Midnight.
Playing those weird cards?
Yeah. Still at it, Lady Ace. How's your feelings?
You drive people wild. Can't follow the tune.
Yeah, I know.
You be out of business. You don't listen to me more. Folks like the way I play.
Well, yeah, they do. I'm going to Paris tonight.
What's that going to fix?
You remember Paris?
Won't change the way you play.
No cold eyes in Paris.
There are no cold eyes in Paris. Ah, the late Dexter Gordon in one of my favourite ever films, playing the ageing jazz musician Dale Turner, a tale of African-Americans escaping the racism and segregation of the New York scene and finding liberation in the winding and poetic streets of Paris, where Dale and his music can be free. Tavernier's film is achingly cool and oozes warmth. Like many of his generation, he began as a film critic and writer, so his cinematic art is imbued with a deep understanding of the history of art and cinema's place in it. At the Ciné Lumière, part of the French Institute in London, I met up with Bertrand Tavernier to discuss his forthcoming film, The Princess of Montpensier, an adaptation of an obscure Madame de Lafayette novella.
Nudity was not a problem. Nudity was not something that you had to be shameful. In the 17th century...
Tavernier is not a man afraid to confront the sensual. Indeed, that aspect of French cinema, I suppose, is writ large in all of our brains. But in our discussion of The Princess of Montpensier, the subject of nudity and its power is discussed with great gusto. But stay yourselves a while. We'll have more of that in July when the film is released here in the UK. For now, let's turn to the question in hand.
Une question provocateuse. Is French cinema better than British film?
I would never give a general statement like that. I think you make films in England which are terrific. I think the last Mike Leigh film is a masterpiece. I absolutely love The Queen, The Deal, Stephen Frears, and I think Tamara Drew is quite a good film. Ken Loach is making, I think, the same provocative, thoughtful, passionate, and some of them are terrific. The same films that he made them when he started, at the time of Poor Cow and Family Life. And I think The Navigator is a masterpiece. I think the film shot in Glasgow.
A Fond Kiss.
Yes.
Excellent film.
Wonderful film. I still think that you have some good films. I've still been a great defender of the British cinema, especially of the British cinema between the 40s, 1940 and 1950, which was great, great, great.
The free cinema of Carol Rice. And,
even
before that, Humphrey Jennings.
The cinema during the war, Humphrey Jennings and Cavalcanti and Michael Powell and Robert Hammer and Alexander McKendrick. I mean, great directors. Great, great directors.
And do you think we've lost some of that power of the director?
Yeah, we lost. There was a moment, it was lost during the 50s, partially lost, because suddenly I saw recently a film which I never heard of. I mean, Never Let Go or Never Let Me Go, directed by John Guillermin, which is a great little film noir with Richard Todd and Peter Sellers playing heavy.
Tavernier is clearly a passionate advocate of British cinema, even though his passion seems to have stopped around 1960. I try to turn the conversation with Bertrand to the youth and dynamism in French cinema today, reflected, I felt, in his young, talented cast in The Princess of Montpensier. But he has got the bit between his teeth on his theory about the fading greatness of British cinema, and it's due to a lack of sophistication, he thinks, at the very top level.
British politician. I think British politicians have never been preoccupied with culture. I think they're never fought with culture. They never thought that culture was important, except people like Winston Churchill, who was more educated than most of the politicians now, who was a brilliant writer, and he understood. He understood that. He understood the tremendous importance of cinema to sell your own culture, to sell your own values, to sell your product. And you have those great films made during the war, those wonderful films made by David Lean, by Cavalcanti, When the Day Well, all those...
And, of course, Paul and Pressburger.
Yes, of course, A Matter of Life and Death and One of Aircraft is Missing.
I hope you're not saying we need another war to have a creative period of British film.
No, you would need another Winston Churchill. You would need a politician with him to have read a few books.
watch much British cinema?
I do, actually. I'm a big fan of Ken Loach. How do you say Ken Loach or Ken Loach? Ken Loach.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Ken Loach and Mike Lee again. The number of times those two come up when you ask a Frenchman about British film. That was one of Bertrand Tavernier's young cast, the actor Gaspard Ulliel, better known to wide audiences for his performance in the less than thrilling third installment of the Hannibal Lecter trilogy. Gaspard, however, is unsure about the difference in quality between British and French cinema.
Well, I don't know if it's better. I don't think it's better because... Well, and then also another thing is, as you know, in France, when we're trying to compare our cinema to another, it's difficult because the film we see in France, like the British films we would see in France or the American films we would see in France, are only the films that got a chance to travel and go abroad. And usually it's the best film that were made in those countries in the year. So we only see all the good films you've done and not all the shitty commercial... You know.
And that's probably why I think French film is so good, because here we only see the good French films.
Because I can surely tell you that when I received the, how do you say, the coffret with all the DVDs to vote for the Césars, actually you have all the films that were done in the year, and it's quite depressing at some point because you can see that most of them are not really good.
It's good to know that you have your fair share of shit. A refreshing honesty from Gaspard Ulliel there. The Princess of Montpensier, in which he stars, was just one of a wide programme of French films, forming last week's Rendezvous with French Cinema here in London, a government-sponsored event showcasing the varied slate of French film, from costume dramas to modern thrillers and kitsch comedies. In British cinema, once you're Danny Dyer, you're Danny Dyer. Genre is more strictly observed here. Whereas in France, it's clear that with such a wide range of films on offer, actors and directors become very adept at handling shifts in tone. It's a diversity perhaps most visibly embodied in the work of director Luc Besson.
At the age of 20, I wrote already like 30 scripts already. So, because I have nobody in the film business in my family, so... But the only thing I can have, like everybody, is a piece of paper and a pen. You know, no one can beat you. Mm-hmm. You don't need any money, you just need a pen. So I was spending my day and my night to write, to write, to write.
Besson is a volcanic force in French contemporary cinema. He's a producer, director, writer, a maniacal mogul running his own studio, EuropaCorp. He made his entree into cinema in France with the stylish Subway in 1985. Oh, 1985. That was before Subway was a fast food franchise and before Christophe Lambert had become a sword-toting time traveller. Subway's success seemed to imply that here was a new French filmmaker who could continue France's cinematic cool after the style of the new wave. Could Besson bring style and substance together? The jury's still out, but Besson's career has taken off. He went on to give Natalie Portman her breakthrough role in Leon and looked to have achieved a French cinematic nirvana with his sci-fi folly, The Fifth Element.
I am a little disappointed.
Five.
And if there is one thing I do not like...
Three.
It is to be...
Two.
Disappointed.
One.
Sorry, sir. This will never happen again.
I know.
Lift off.
Gary Oldman as the evil Zorg was not the only one disappointed. Critically, The Fifth Element received a very mixed reaction. But one element was beyond question. Besson, with the help of French designer Jean-Paul Gaultier, had delivered a visual feast, and in visual terms, The Fifth Element has had a profound influence ever since on sci-fi aesthetics in cinema. The film also opened Cannes in 1997, but in fact, The Fifth Element was actually a British affair. Another great source of disappointment, this time for Besson himself.
And you shot much of The Fifth Element here in the UK,
which
at the time was very exciting for the UK. Why did you do that here? Is it...
Because we don't have enough studios in France at the time, so I couldn't make it in France. I was quite happy with the English crew, but kind of sad that to be obliged. You know, I have so many friends in Paris, in France, who helped me on my first few films. You know, people from the lights and the cameras and, you know, all these people who help you when you're young. Mm. And I couldn't give The Fifth Element to them because we were there. So nothing against the English. They were pretty, very nice to me, and I have a good time with them. But I was sad to be obliged to do the film in England, in fact.
Mm. Was that element something that made you then say, well, I'd like to create a French studio, a French industry?
Yeah.
Totally. That I can do.
Because I think it's insane. It's insane that, you know, you can't make the film in your own country. I mean, you have plenty of good technicians here. You have, you know, Pinewood, you have Shepperton. You have a brilliant industry, very strong. France produce more than 200 films per year, you know, and every time we have a big film, we have to get out of the country. And that's insane, you know. So I fight since a long time to get, you know, nice and proper soundstage in Paris, and not for me, for everybody.
Mm. It was interesting, Subway, when that came out here for a UK audience. So it was in a very dark time for the UK film industry. We weren't making films, and someone, a young French filmmaker, they called you an enfant terrible, I think, at the time. He came and he made a film that was exciting. It was about, you know, a European capital that was, you know, it made it look kind of cool. It made it look sexy. It was a thrilling film. And it had all the elements that you want in cinema. And, British, I know, young British audiences, which I was at the time, would say, well, why can't we make those films here in the UK? Was there a sense that you couldn't make them in France either, I think, at the time?
Yeah, you just do it. You don't know the consequences of what you're doing. But, you know, in the front of me, I have Jean-Jacques Benex, who was older than me and did Diva. And Diva was kind of like opening the door. And I was just, you know, following Jean-Jacques, you know, and Jean-Jacques Hano also made Quest of Fire. Mm-hmm. And so we have a couple of examples that we can follow. And I'm very happy to see since 10, 12 years that the English cinema is, you know, like really much alive and very energetic and lots of talents, brilliant actors, good directors. I mean, you know, I'm very happy for the English.
Oh, well, thank you.
No, and you know, they feel, you know, before, like when I start, they feel so so in the shadow of their American cousin, and oh, I can't get out of the shadow. And now they say, you know, get the fuck out of here. Give me the place.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
I wonder if it's Besson's seething admiration for British technicians that has subliminally found its way into his screenplay for the hugely successful Taken, starring Hollywood's Liam Neeson. So is cinema made in France French cinema? Luc has always found this a sensitive issue.
To read and people sort of say, Luc, he's the most Hollywood of French filmmakers. And I never knew if you took that as a compliment or a criticism.
So if you ask the question, you have the answer.
But it seemed both, because you used it.
No, it's stupid to say that. I mean, I don't even understand.
Like I said, he's very sensitive about it, but Besson does make a fair point in his defense.
It's not because you have a big action or sci-fi film that you're obviously American, you know? Otherwise, it means that if you have a small intellectual film American, then it means that the film is European?
Mm-hmm.
No. You know, you see Little Miss Sunshine is a very cute, nice, intelligent American film, mm-hmm. You know, and no one's saying, oh, it looks like a European film.
Ils ont enlevé ma femme.
Faites les payer tous les deux.
Faut la trouver avant que la conne s'en mêle.
On a quand même rendez nous, putain!
Qu'est-ce qui t'a fait, ça, lui?
À bout portant, comme mon premier film pour elle, peut très bien se passer à Londres.
I'm part of a generation where you no longer have this kind of chip on your shoulder, having to worry that, you know, the cinema, American cinema is there. We can now do what we want, and we can do American films, or we can do that style. And my first film, anything for her, or my new film Point Blank could be easily happening in London.
Director Fred Cavaillé seems to have none of the neurotic hang-ups about Hollywood that dog Luc Besson, although it's fair to say that all popular French cinema is somewhat in debt to Besson. Cavaillé made a splash with his debut film Poor Elle, which starred Diane Kruger, and it was paid the ultimate Hollywood compliment of a remake starring Russell Crowe and directed by Paul Haggis.
It's easy to find fake papers. Harder
to find ones that'll get you through an airport. You'll need a passport, a driver's license, a social security number, and money.
You'll need enough to last at least 5-6 years. You run out of money,
you run out of friends. But before you do anything.
Your first film, Poor Elle, was remade in America recently. The next 3 days, it was called
Paul Haggis.
Paul Haggis with Russell Crowe. It was terrible. I have to say, even though I admire Paul Haggis as a filmmaker, I thought it was terrible. A terrible experience for you. We can say it here; they're not listening. But even though.
je suis le plus mauvais spectateur du monde pour ce film.
I am the worst spectator ever, really. For this film.
Yeah, well, I was second, I think, because I was fond of your film. But it's funny because it doesn't need to be remade. That was the thing. It didn't add anything being remade, just language.
Ouais, oui. Après, je crois que
I think what Paul Haggis wanted to do was maybe do a darker film than he actually did on the kind of reflection, the thought of how far can we go in evil in order to succeed in good. You know, how far can you be, how bad can you be in order to be good.
Et donc moi j'ai peut-être fait le film américain et lui a fait le film français.
Yes. So maybe I did the American version and he did the French version.
I think so. Yours was pure thriller and jailbreak and all that.
Après, c'est comme on rejoint votre première question par rapport à Bertrand
Tavernier. When you're in your little flat writing your first script and then this gets made into a film and somebody wants to make a remake, Paul Haggis with Russell Crowe and Liam Neeson, it's quite amazing.
The Americans often remake French films, actually, and your new one, A Bout Pourtant, which we call Point Blank here, they say that could also be remade quite easily in America. Have you heard anything?
Yes, it is going to be remade, and there's the idea that this man's boy next door, this kind of Mr. Nobody, is so universal, but I'm inspired by American films, and I make my own film, and the Americans come and take what I did.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It was a strange circle. Do you watch much British cinema? I'm actually asking during this rendezvous of cinema, is French film better than British film? It's a provocative question, I know, and maybe there's no answer, but I wonder what you think of that.
Sur le cinéma anglais?
Oui, parce que dans tout le cadre de ce festival, il demande cette question.
Je pose des questions à tout le monde.
Je connais Ken Loach, voilà, tous les grands réalisateurs. C'est vrai que je...
Oh, here we are, back to Ken Loach again. Fred Cavaillé proving that the French tend to pass a glance at cinema as they fly over us on their way to Los Angeles and New York.
No, I don't want to compare the two cinema. You know, there is an old polemic about Truffaut who said the English cinema doesn't exist.
Ouch, that old chestnut rears its head. That's director François Ozon repeating Truffaut's damning judgment on British cinema. Although Truffaut, of course, really admired Alfred Hitchcock, but probably not till Hitchcock went to America to make his films. Returning to that observation made earlier by Bertrand Tavernier, the prolific Ozon, whose latest comedy Potiche stars those icons Catherine Deneuve and Gérard Depardieu, and who also worked in England with Romain Garai making the film Angel, he sees the strength of the French film industry and the weakness of its British neighbour down to politics and money again.
So I don't understand why the state, the government, don't support enough the English cinema.
Do they support you, the French? I mean, you know, yes. you went to French film school and then you get the support.
I think the French have understood for a very long time. I think it comes from the war, from the Second War, when the Minister of Culture, Malraux, who was close to De Gaulle, said the cinema is one art and one industry. And we all know that, you know, it's in our veins, that the cinema is important as an industry, as an art. And so the state has always support the culture. And I don't know if in England you have a Minister of Culture. I'm not sure it does exist. No?
We do have one, but he also does sport and he does all sorts of things. And I'm not sure that film. I'm not sure that film comes under culture. That's the thing.
Ah, that's maybe the problem for the English. Yes. Yeah. But I realized that because when I worked in England, very often when I did a period movie, Angel, we had to deal with private interest working on culture, on the old houses, or I don't remember.
The heritage. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
So it was. It's another way of seeing the culture between France and England. But I think there is a richness in England. But you could have more films, I think.
Yes, I mean, you make a sort of a film a year, which I think very few English filmmakers manage to do that. Michael Winterbottom sort of do it.
Ken Loach very often is produced by French money, you know, which is very funny. And I think his films are more successful in France than in England. And Mike Leigh, the same thing.
Yeah.
It's true, when you speak culture with English people, they speak first about theater. They respect theater. Cinema is just entertainment. And in France, it's different. We respect the two, but the cinema is more popular, and the cinema is really respected by the intellectual and the cinephile.
So Ozon points to a British snobbery around theatre and film. But I have to agree with him, it's hard not to gaze across the channel and envy their national pride and political support for the art of cinema. But political and financial help only add up to so much. In the end, French cinema, like any thriving cinema culture, lives and dies on new ideas. And particularly reinvigorating has been the effort by certain French filmmakers to reflect a contemporary, urban, multicultural France, from Matthew Kassovitz's La Haine, to Claire Denis's 35 Shots of Rum, and most recently and spectacularly to Jacques Audiard's award-winning A Prophet, a work undeniably French but accepted worldwide as a high point in current world cinema. Its central performance by newcomer Taha Rahim is remarkable, and it's in Taha's own newfound fame that we perhaps find the key to French cinema today. This week, Taha stars in The Eagle, a big-budget British movie made by a Brit, or a Scot, Kevin MacDonald, and shot in Scotland. So the connections between our cinema cultures continue to flourish. It's in Taha Rahim's growing maturity and confidence that we see the flourishing of French cinema.
Tu veux quoi, toi?
Je te reconnais. On est au même étage. C'est quoi ton nom?
Qu'est-ce que ça peut te foutre, ton nom?
Tu sais dans quel bâtiment tu vas, toi?
We know the great, you know, A Prophet was your first film. No one's seen it before, really, except people on French TV maybe had seen you. Then you do The Eagle. What's happened since The Eagle, which is coming out soon? But you must have been working since then.
Yeah, a lot of things.
You've been busy.
I played in three movies. I played with I act for a Chinese director called Lu Ye.
Oh, I love Lu Ye. Did Summer Palace and
River. Absolutely.
Yeah,
Chosen River.
You're brilliant at the film.
Yeah. So we did a movie together.
He's banned, isn't he? He can't work in China.
He can't work in China, but he'll do it if he wants.
I know him. Did you go to China with him?
No.
No.
They went there. They shot in China, right. But my character wasn't there. So
what's this new film, Lu Ye? I love Lu Ye.
It's a strange love story between a French worker and a Chinese teacher in France.
Oh, brilliant. So we hope to see that soon. Probably at Cannes. They love him at Cannes, do you?
Maybe, I don't know.
The Chinese don't love him there, but the French love him. And what else have you done?
I did a movie with Ismail Ferouki.
Mm.
Do you remember?
He did the what's it called? The Bath.
Le Grand Voyage, mais je sais pas comment... I don't know how to say it.
The Great Journey, the Muslim journey across to...
Yeah,
to the...
that's... It's a story of a young Algerian... was in Paris during the occupation, and he's just doing his own stuff, trying to make his family leave and things like this. And he's going to be involved in the Gestapo.
Right.
And then he'll go to the resistance, and he'll finish in the independent Algerian movement.
There's you again doing this thing, Taha, where you're kind of working for one side, and then you're working for the other side, the Corsicans, the Muslims, the Gestapo.
I love that.
Slippery boy.
Yeah.
And your third film, Taha Rahim, please.
I just finished a week before the last movie of Jean-Jacques Annaud.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big epic story. Of.
Does he make you walk through mountains and snow?
Through deserts
with
for
lion
5 cubs. Months. Deserts with camels and horses.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what we're saying now is, because when I first met you, you weren't even sure you were you wanted to be an actor, but you know you weren't really an actor yet. Then Jacques Audiard gave you this wonderful role, and now it's working for you. You're an actor now.
Yeah.
This is what you do.
I'm working.
Yeah? And you're pleased with it?
Yeah, I'm really happy. I'm really happy, really. I would never have dreamt of it.
Yeah, and these are the roles as well that you're getting. Obviously, fascinating roles.
Yeah, You know, I didn't work a long time before between a prophet and the eagle, and even between eagle and Louis, because I learned how to read a script, and I learned about myself and listening my tripes, je sais pas comment on dit ça.
My heart, your guts, yes.
My guts, my heart.
My gut instinct is that British cinema, in its current state of flux, could learn a lot about loving film from our French rivals and neighbours. This has been a French Film Weekly special, recorded at the Rendezvous of French Cinema at the Ciné Lumière and BFI Southbank. There'll be a full and frank version of that Luc Besson interview on my new show, Mise en Scène, on the channel Cinémoi in a couple of months' time, when his latest film, The Extraordinary Adventures of Adèle Blanc-Sec, is released. And Taha Rahim can be seen giving Jamie Bell what for in The Eagle this week across the UK. But for now, from me, Jason Solomons, and my producer on this French Film Weekly special, Jason Phipps, it's au revoir, merci beaucoup, and see you next week.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.